Welcome, everybody, inside an ultra rapid reacts. The broadcast is still going. The round is not over. And we are here talking preserve doubles. It is Sunday. What time is it? It's 7 o'clock Eastern time, 5 right. o'clock Mountain time, midnight here in Ireland. Charlie, Josh with you. I'm working, soon to be on vacation. Josh was on vacation. Josh, first things first, how was your cruise?
It was excellent. For people who are like the go and want to do stuff, I'm not sure I'd recommend it. I think there are better ways to go and like have a really like active vacation. I read two books. I read Dune and Dune Messiah this week and spent a lot of time sitting in a lawn chair or in a beach chair and got way too sunburned and drank a whole lot of virgin mojitos. So it was a great week. I cannot complain.
See, a virgin mojito is just good juice with mint. That's a good thing.
True. Yeah. Like, it's
arguably better than a regular mojito.
Very, very fresh, very light. It's great.
All right. Well, let's talk about this tournament. We literally just wrapped it up. I mean, it's actually still happening because we decided to start early since I need to go to sleep soon. Because the tournament's over. I mean, it's not fully officially done, but it is a wrap in MPO as Hammond Legs get it done. Ricky Wysocki, Adam Hammes go absolutely bonkers down the stretch and put together, what was their final rounds? Was it 11 under? Just a crazy day.
It's saying 10 on my PDG.
Was it 10?
I thought okay. It was 11. Yeah.
I think they said 11 on the air.
They did. They said 11 on the air, but that's not right.
Okay. It was 10. It could have been 11 if Ricky didn't miss the C1 putt at the end, which, you know, for a moment there seemed like it could be consequential, but then we immediately find out that Ezra missed the Mando. Then he missed the tee shot on 17. Thanks for coming. Good weekend, but not going to get the win. Ricky and Adam were just tremendous down the stretch today. I mean, some absolutely crazy circle two makes, and they just clutched up. I mean, I know Ricky missed on 18, but they'd already done enough.
Yeah. I think they mentioned in the stats, and I'm pulling it out right now to make sure that's right, but they mentioned on the air that they go 10 down, which is three better than the hot round, with three circle one misses today. That's a pretty heroic performance there out of Adam and Rick, and it really was like I by the time we get to what hole is it, hole 12, they bogey and you're like, okay, that was fun, thanks. Is it going to be the Gavin Babcock, Nico Santos, or the Robinson Bros? Like that's where we're at this point, and then they rip off just a crazy streak in order to jump in and end up taking that lead.
We got to talk about the bigger story here, which is that it seemed like everything had been scripted for Gannon Burr and Calvin Weinberg to just waltz right through the door, get the win that they had predestined by putting together an unfairly stacked team. And then they proceed to have a triple bogey, double bogey back to back and completely blow up their round.
Disaster what, fest.
What? What is happening? Like, what was that today?
I don't know. And it's funny because they talked about, Gannon having a little bit of a blow up at Ledgestone, which was obviously the case. And so now you've got these kind of back-to-back weekends. I came into this, you know, getting ready for the show, and I was like, okay, listen, we don't want, like, I think the biggest mistake here for this tournament would be to come in and say, hold on, or come in and say, like, we like have all these takes from this tournament for Worlds. And I think that is largely a mistake to make. But that's like two back-to-back weeks that Gannon Burr has had massive blow-ups. I guess we had Des Moines in the middle. But we've got these, like, massive blow-ups from Gannon that are, like, a little bit concerning. They should be concerning before Worlds. The advantage that Ganon has is that he gets 5 rounds and like is the best player on Earth, and so 5 rounds means he probably can overcome it. But it's a problem. It's a problem.
It does feel a little like he's in a bit of a slump. Dare I say slump? Is it slump? It feels slumpish.
It does feel slumpish.
Some people are having trouble with the audio here. I unfortunately don't know, quite know how to help you because it's a Discord issue and most people have no problems. So try swiping up from the bottom and then you can change your audio output. That works for most people. Force quit the app if it's not working. Sorry, folks. We can always try not using stage if it's causing problems in the future. Okay. I guess if you're hearing me say this, you're already listening. So, yeah. It's good this was in the this is good this is in the podcast after the fact, so people can realize I'm being an idiot.
We're recording instructions for next time. That's all.
for next time.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, look, Ganon and Calvin obviously played great in Best Shot. But it felt to me throughout Best Shot that I was watching two individual players playing, throwing their shots. They're great players. One of the two of them was bound to make a good shot most of the time, and they were going to mostly get a lot of birdies.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But then I would like listen to their, you know, the post round interview and like weird stuff, like Ganon taking every putt in round two. And then I listen to the post round interview and it's like they were photoshopped together into the room to have the conversation with the interview.
They were
like,
not a vibe.
There was none. Like, it's not even like there was like a little vibe. It was just like zero vibe. Like, we are here playing this event together. We are good at the disc golf game. And I think that there is at least something to that. Now, obviously, they played awesome through two rounds. But is there something there? Like, there just wasn't the connection, it felt like, that it felt like the top teams this weekend had. And maybe that's just, we're just reading too much into it, but I just got that vibe straight from the start. And in some ways, like, it is surprising that they lost, but it also doesn't surprise me that they lost.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things that when you think about, like, when you think about doubles, right? And doubles that you've played, even the right cards and the right partner make your team where the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And that was the case, I think, for Adam and Ricky. I think that was the case for, obviously, like, Lucas and Jesse, right? Like, Luke Taylor and Andrew Marweed, guys who are just, like, having a great time. And then we have guys like Ganon and Calvin who were just the sum of their parts. And there was no difference there.
I will say, like, look at Ricky and Adam, and Josiah dropped the stats. They had throw-ins from over 100 feet twice. They had a 408-foot throw-in on hole three and round two. 130-foot throw-in. Obviously, they were just monstrous today from C2. Ricky is the most clutch C2 putter on tour, I think. Maybe even clutcher than Ganon. I mean, he's just absolutely ridiculous. Now, he can miss bunnies, and we saw today.
Yeah.
But man, does that guy hit clutch putts. Holy crap. And I feel like they were energizing each other in a way that I didn't see happening with Ganon and Calvin.
Yes.
And meanwhile, I just felt like Ezra Robinson just wasn't quite playing well enough today for them to win. Go ahead, jump in.
Yeah, real quick. Someone, Clark and Jenna, both bring up the example on FPO, though, and they say, does this hold true? I say it absolutely holds true because Owen and Taylor are a, on paper, significantly worse team. Not significantly worse. They are a worse team in alternate shot than Katrina and Silva. If you put those two up against each other, Taylor and Katrina, like, I think you're taking Katrina most times. Taylor's a good player, but she is not at Katrina's level still. Silva is better than Owen. And yet we go to a playoff because I think Taylor and Owen overperformed a little bit as compared to where Silva and Katrina are. On paper, I think those two are the better team. And so, yes, the Vibes didn't necessarily win, but the Vibes got them to a playoff. So, yeah, here we go. Sean says Owen plus Taylor, largest gap in player ratings of all the teams. There we go.
I think the chemistry point being, you know, sort of nullified by Silva Katrina, I don't know. Like, how many teams in FPO have a realistic chance to win? I mean, like, I'm going to start with that.
Okay.
Just, like, not, like, from before the weekend, not from, like, today.
Sure.
You had Silva and Katrina, who I think actually get along fine. I mean, they're just sort of, more reserved people.
Right, right.
You had Paige Missy. Yep. You had Owen Taylor. I mean, really?
Owen Taylor?
No. Because Taylor's a better player than Addison. I think Addison held up fine in best shot doubles, but I think, at least going into the weekend, I thought it was a remote possibility because of the all Addison, shot round.
Addison is higher rated than Taylor is by 10 points, 11 points.
Okay, that is I give you that. That's a fair point, but I still don't believe that.
Okay.
Is that fair?
I don't know. But sure. Okay, the Mondahano sisters got to be.
I could be blinded by like tour finish recency bias. And I know Taylor hasn't been great lately, but like she was up at the top of the leaderboard at the beginning of the season. I could just be wrong.
Okay. Either way. Anyways, and then but to your point, Mondahano sisters?
Yeah, definitely live dogs.
Yeah. And that might be it. Like, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Just to your point.
I feel like if we'd had a comparable team in FPO, it would have been like, what would have been? Silva, Owen? I don't know. Owen gets along with everyone. It's hard for me to imagine this quite the same way in FPO in some ways. Sure. I don't necessarily want to dwell on the point. Can we talk about the FPO round?
Oh my gosh.
Because
so much fun.
What was so going exciting. On?
Oh my goodness.
Some of the missed putts were truly jaw dropping.
Yeah. Okay.
The pressure was crazy.
Hole 17. Kat misses the putt. And listen, it was a miss, but that was a whole lot of chain. And that catches in a lot of instances. And so, you know, I'm like, okay, it's a miss, but it's like as good of a miss as you're going to get from that spot. It's strong side, hits tons of chain, and it's super windy. And so it just kind of does, all right, whatever, fine, right? 18, that miss is clearly in her head. That's a bad miss. And then Owens on one was just, jaw dropping. I could not believe it. Couldn't believe it.
When did she miss that putt earlier this season?
Oh,
she missed the bunny.
USWDGC. It's when she putted on 16.
Yeah.
Like we're not
same energy for me. Like
yes.
I feel like she's not handling the pressure.
She's not. She's crumbling. Yeah, she is crumbling under pressure right now.
That was crazy, man. That's like if you had to put money on someone in FPO to make that putt, you take Owen, right? Like
you take Owen.
It's just like an impossible to imagine the miss.
Yeah.
But I think there's something going on, especially close in C1, where she's just not. Like she's a little nervy about it.
Yep.
And maybe only when it's like a pressure spot. But man, it has been a couple of rough, painful misses for Owen this year. Late in final rounds on the putting green.
Yep. Well, and you know, I think we were through 10. I was like, dang, Charlie, you know, he talked about how this is like what a doubles partnership should look like.
Dude, I was literally I was prepping that take in my head.
I know. I was like, oh man. I was like, he got it again. He's like, so good. And then hole 14. Taylor, I don't know if I've ever seen a disc like go off the intended line so fast as Taylor's did. No, that wasn't 16, Casey. That was the second time it happened. Because on 14, Owen throws the first shot, slides OB. It was close. It was a little left, like goes OB. And then Taylor throws the next shot, and it goes up and straight right. I mean, that disc took a 90-degree turn, gone. And I was like, oh my gosh, I've never seen a disc behave like that. And then on hole 16, that disc like came out in her backswing. It came out so early. And it's like, okay, there's Taylor, right? Like, Taylor has immense potential, but also just does not have the control and consistency right now. And it reared its head in the alternate shot, which is what we were talking about as well.
Wild. Absolutely wild. Okay, I have a question for the chat. Would you rather, and for you, Josh, would you rather have seen another round of best shot?
My answer is no. I think the changeup was nice. It added pressure. It changed the energy. It required each player to stand on their own. Brought the scores down. Like Ricky and Adam don't have that comeback if it's best shot. It's just like that. I think you lose some of the scoring separation.
You definitely lose scoring separation.
And so no, I'm loved the alternate shot as a final round. We haven't even talked about it. We have not talked about it yet, which is probably a problem. This event was awesome. This event was fantastic. They should have this event every year. I love the format. I think the best shot, alt shot was great. JVD says it should be best alt best. I disagree. I want the pressure of the final round to be the day with alt shot. That's where you're going to get like the drama that we got today. This event was fantastic. It felt like it mattered a little bit because there are points on the line, but it was so much fun to watch. It was like the pacing was good. I thought they did a nice job with the graphics, like putting up who's going to be throwing on that tee. It was great. It was great. I loved this event. Was fantastic.
I mean, it's just, first of all, it's just fun to watch best shot doubles. It's just fun. I don't know if I want to watch it every single week, but like, I enjoy watching people playing aggressive disc golf and going for it because you just get more highlights. You do. People throwing in, people running the basket, people flashing chains right and left, huge putts, and like just less fear from everyone because they know there's a backstop, you know? And it made the dramatic moments dramatic when people, they you know, take a bogey, you know, God forbid. And I mean, what, Matty O and, why am I already forgetting who Matty O was playing with? Casey White. They had that brutal hole yesterday that like kind of took them out of the mix. And like, that was dramatic while, you know, we also got to see lots of highlights.
Yeah.
The alt shot feels necessary at least for one round. Yes. Because otherwise it just is there's just too many birdies. I mean, like everyone's shooting 15 to 18 under par.
Yeah.
Like, and I say everyone, obviously not everyone. There was still some scoring separation, but it would lack the sizzle when everybody gets a redo every time, you know?
Yeah.
So really, really nice overall. I think it's a very refreshing spot to take a breath and enjoy something different and fun. And it takes the slog out of the Midwest a little bit. And it also sets us up for this little palate cleanser before Worlds. I don't think it could have gone much better.
I know. And like I was getting ready at the end of the season prior to knowing it was the doubles to being like, okay, we got to talk about this Midwest stretch and preserve. Because like I don't know if I could have handled it. If we had gone Ledgestone into Disc Mania Challenge into Preserve, Preserve would have been like, it's sprinty, but it just, I don't know. It would not have been the same. And this course was perfect for it. I thought the course changes they made were fantastic.
Tremendous.
The tournament staff, the DGPT, anyone who was involved in getting this together deserves, like, should take their victory lap because this was great.
And you know what? It's nice of Gannon and Calvin to just go in there and just blunder today, because if they had just walked it in, it would have been, we would have not have been selling the same story potentially.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It might have been much more difficult. I all that would have happened then, if that was the case, is I would have just said, we need a ratings cap. Like that's ratings cap the teams, and that fixes the problem. I don't even feel that way right now. Put whoever wants to play together, it's great. It's fine by me.
I mean, after this year, I take it back, right? I was like, oh, they need to do this, they need to do that. This is completely crazy. Yep. Well, proof's in the sauce. I mean, this was fine.
Yes.
And if I'm Preserve, I say I want this every year.
I think so too.
There were great crowds out there too.
Yeah. Yep. And because of like the weight of the event being like still mattering, people are going to want to come, but also at the same time, like it's the case of like players clearly are not, it's just not the same weight, I think, as the individual. And so like players were engaging with fans, and like, it was, I don't know. I think that then like the Preserve could turn this, you know, the players talked about, and it was one of the hard things about Preserve and being like, oh, Preserve's a little tough, was the fact that players love Preserve. They love Preserve. They love the camping. They love the festive. Like, they love everything about it. And so it was like, man, like, if players like it so much, that's tough. You could do that same thing for fans, right? Can we get camping spots for fans? Let fans stay on site too. Could we, like, kind of glow rounds could we play? Okay, I don't know. What kind of glow rounds could we play? What kind, like, there is so much that we can do to really, really make this a hype event. And the format supports it.
I do think this brings up another point that I want to talk about, though, which is that as fun as this is, as cool as this was, I support this event existing in the future 100%.
Yep.
They need to devalue the points earned from this event towards the season standings. And they do not need to come anywhere near calling this an Elite Series DGPT win for these players' career. I don't want to hear it.
I
will
that.
Not listen to it. Do not put it in my stats. Do not put it on the frickin' graphics. I don't want to hear it. Congrats. You won the doubles. I think that's great. You're a doubles champion. We can call you the doubles champion. You can be a 3x doubles champion. It's not 3x DGPT winner, okay?
I agree.
If someone gets their first Elite Series win as doubles, and then we have to walk around about this is their first Elite Series win.
No.
Bullet in my head. Okay. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah. No. That I agree with that. I liked the points though. That's where I'm going to disagree with you, Charlie. I think the points are important for like creating some of the weight to make it so that players are taking it seriously and care about it. And like Ezra Robinson was so mad on hole 17. And hole 16, that like,
but he wasn't mad. He wasn't mad because of the points. I promise you.
But it matters more because there's points and there's money. And if you start off by saying, "Hey, this is worth the Jomez series number of points," I just don't think we're gonna get the same energy. So I disagree with you on the points, but it does not count as an Elite Series win.
To be fair, I care way more about the fact calling it an Elite Series win than I do about the points. I don't care that much about the points.
All right.
Just to be clear.
then I'm with you on your most important part of the take.
Andrew says might have the top skip it if they don't have the points. Maybe. But like, it's fun, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is
fun. I don't know. Fair enough. If the points is what it takes, fine. I think if you give money to the winners, the pros are going to show up. And I just don't want it to, I don't want people to conflate this with a singles win. It's just a completely different thing.
No, it's completely different. So I'm with you on that. I want points though.
Casey says, do you think Paul and Anthony Barella regret skipping now after seeing how it went? No. Paul cares Paul about one thing.
Yeah, majors, Paul doesn't. And especially and, Worlds. AB didn't get a choice in the matter.
Right. Jacob says, how do other big sports handle this? Tennis has singles and doubles, so they keep separate stats. You bet. Okay. Yes. Have you ever heard a tennis broadcast tell you about, they're an 18-time major champion, 17 doubles wins, and one singles win? No, they don't do that because no one's talking about the doubles. Doubles is a sideshow event. The doubles is like a fun thing you do as a part of the main thing.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how it should be considered here.
Yep. Yep.
And I like, again, I support the doubles. I'm happy about it. So, okay, I'm done on this, on my soapbox. We obviously agree. Let's see. What else stood out this weekend?
Man, Zerbal says throw-ins, but I think that goes back to your point, Charlie, is that when you create that opportunity, and like you give opportunities for players to start running things, like that is what creates those throw-ins. But here on hole 18 with Paige and Katrina in the order of play, and how big a deal Dez made out of it. Oh my gosh. Oh man, so funny. I don't care. I do not. It's doubles. It's doubles. Why are we complaining about the order of play? Oh man.
I feel like some disc golfers really care about that stuff. I could never care at all about that.
Oh, no. No, I'm with you, Charlie.
But some people are like really intensely focused on like where they are on the box, and they like want to be on the box and like put the pressure on other people and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Josiah brought it. I was just getting ready to bring it up, and he beat me to the punch. But he is the one who deserves the credit. So Jesse Longenecker and Lucas Oberholzer Hess throwing down with a top five finish, and those guys were like at the top after round one. They shot a 16. They were still within three shots of the lead after round two, and they were a lot of fun. Did not see that coming. I thought Josiah was Homerville, but. He called it.
He got it. It was a good call. Podium finish. They played great. It was funny. I went and played doubles with the BYU disc golf team yesterday, and one of the guys was like, "Yeah, I was on a card round one at Nationals with Jesse Longenecker the year that he won Nationals." He's like, "I got absolutely pulverized on that card." more people who knew Jesse Longenecker was the guy, so more credit there.
Let's see. I just saw Kerbo Turbo wants a breakdown of the Goat Money performance. So Missy and Paige, obviously super disappointing round today. They were up two strokes coming into the day after a really great round two, and they go three over. Just never really got it going in the first place.
Yeah, no, they didn't.
I mean, only found five greens, C1 in reg. Only converted three birdies.
They were 1-9 from circle two.
It's hard if you're not in the rhythm, and like it's harder to get into a rhythm when you're only playing alt shot and you're putting half as often and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It was, I think we saw some of the demons that kind of have explained why Missy hasn't been in contention as much and why Paige has been a non-factor this season. That is what we saw in alt shot. And of course it makes sense, but we very quickly saw some of the regressions of players, you know, demons come out on the alt shot very quickly. I think, and it's worth talking about, someone mentioned, sorry, if you want to claim credit, put it in the chat. A lot of the players talked about how much pressure they felt from this event, how stressed they were about this event, because like they didn't want to let partners down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't want to let your, you don't want your teammate down. Mm-hmm. It's like, you can't internalize it as much. It's kind of wild to look at the FPO scores. I mean, I guess they played different pin positions today. So like maybe there's a little bit of an effect there, but I mean, the rounds with best shot were like multiple 10 under pars today. Yeah. The best round was two down.
Yeah. It was windier. It was windy today. It was really windy at the end. So that's part of it, but yeah, it's, boy, that I think the problem is, and Andrew talks about this here, when you make a course really like, how different was the FPO layout between the rounds?
That I can't speak to.
Was like,
Andrew says not very.
Okay. It's kind of what my impression was as well from watching it. Like I had a hard time even telling sometimes. I was like, wait, where's the switch? And so you have to find a good balance on the alt shot where you still want it to be hard and very pressure filled for both divisions. But yeah, you can't have a course designed for best shot be the alt shot course as well.
Fascinating event though. It was just straight up was fun. Like, it doesn't, remember that this is an entertainment product, right?
Yes. Yep.
Like, it doesn't always have to be a major, big pressure. Like, it can just be fun tournament. And, like, doubles is fun to watch.
And it was easy to follow.
Yes.
It wasn't like play, right? It, like, tension was there, easy to follow, good vibes. Those are what you need for an entertainment product. And they all deliver.
Lance says over under 5.5 for shot of the day calls from per round in MPO. I mean, I get the joke, but like the fact is it was fun, right? Like this is what makes it fun. People are throwing crazy shots and it's working out.
Yep.
What a shot today. By the way, I feel like it's easy to focus on the C2 putts. The Adam Hammes shot over the trees to like put it in C1. On whatever hole that was down the stretch, was that 16? That was a crazy shot. That might have won them the tournament.
There were a lot of holes that those guys did some just really spectacular throws and great putting. It was so fun. I don't have a lot more to say on this, Charlie. Do we want to pick dogs and wrap it up?
Let's pick dogs and get out of here. I'm starting to do the Josh yawn right now. Hammond legs 1x. Put that on the discs, guys. Good stuff. Okay, dogs.
Well, okay. I mean, where do you want to start, Charlie? I'll let you go first. You pick. You go first.
Let's see.
I'm ready to. Okay, I'll go first then. FPO.
Okay.
FPO dogs, and this is a doubles dogs, so I get to tweak my criteria just a smidge. Ella Hansen, Raven Klein, FPO dogs. If you came for vibes, then you got them from that team. Their vibes were immaculate. They were having a blast, and they played pretty well. Like they're the top of the next tier. They're a handful of strokes behind the podium groups, but boy, they played fairly well and they were so much fun to watch today. They had like the little routine after Raven made the huge putt. That's what I want out of doubles. And so Ella and Raven get my dogs. Yeah. That's Casey. When they ran in the putt, hilarious. That was fantastic. So they get my FPO dogs.
Great call. I'm going to go with M&M. Ellie Midling and Emily Weatherman. Sixth place finish. Showing off that they still are really promising players. Like, it's easy to forget about these players because they've been on tour for a while and they haven't, like, won anything lately. And, like, oh, the Euro players are so exciting, they're so young. All that is true, but these are both really promising young players, too. And I thought they played really nice this weekend. On the MPO side, I got to go with Lucas and Jesse.
Take the easy one. Yeah, take these ones, Charlie.
Top five? You kidding me? Alongside all these, like, absolute, like, mammoth players in the sport, that's sick.
You were about to say dogs, weren't you?
No.
Alongside all these dogs? Oh, I thought you
funny
were.
Funny story, really though. Dude on the Frisbee game today, the ultimate game,
okay,
like, finds the camera. And then peels his jersey off and has a "I got that dog in me" shirt on underneath it. And I was like, own his team off right now. I'm going to put on the disc golf.
That's incredible. Oh, man. Which dog? Oh, I was like halfway through the round or so. Not even halfway. Beginning of the day, a couple of holes in, I was like, oh, yeah, Silas Schultz and Ty Love. Easy dogs. They didn't have a very dog round today. It makes it a little bit harder. Oh, man. The Ricky Adam, like, truly were dogs in every way today. But I can't pick them. So
it's such a tough thing not to be able to pick
on
the winners.
Hold on,
because
hold
you're
on.
Sure right, they were a super dog.
Important question. Can I give dog to Ryan Wysocki, who did not technically win the event?
I don't see why not.
Ryan Wysocki and his partner, I don't know what Adam's name's got to be. That feels like I get to pick my dog. That's a great story. No, they fell off at the end, but I'm still going to give it to him. I think Silas and Ty Love played really, really well. And I was really ready to give him my dog, and then they had that middle blow-up stretch, but I'm still giving him the dog. So. Ryan Wysocki and Alex Hammes. Perfect. There we go. Those are my dogs.
Good stuff. All right. Time to go to bed. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Appreciate having you. Appreciate this as a subscriber, and more to come on the schedule for this week. It's going to be a little funky. Josh and I are dealing with time zone craziness, and we may do just one show this week, but we will be rocking and rolling for Worlds preview show, all that good stuff, and daily reacts as well throughout the World Championships coming up in Michigan, not this coming weekend, but the following. So we get a little bit of a break, and then we're back at it. So for Josh Mansfield, I'm Charlie Eisen saying good night, and we'll talk to you this week on The Upshot.